I'm here with my friend Glenn Tickle.
I'm here with my friend John Lunger.
And this is season two of the improvised Wikipedia podcast. What? We took off for the holidays.
Yeah, and then an extra week.
Because we're terrible garbage boys. We're trash monsters who can't get their shit together. So this is officially season two because there was a lull in episodes.
Yeah, I think if we just took the 2 weeks for the holiday, I think we could have gotten away with just not calling it anything.
But yeah, but I mean, let's just own it, man.
We'll draw attention to it.
This is the second season of our podcast. How are you feeling about it,
Glenn? We learned some adventures. I meant lessons.
We
had some lessons, learned some adventures. Now we're back.
Yeah, but how are you feeling about it, man? Open up to me.
How do I feel about our podcast?
Yeah, we're in season two.
I feel like more people should listen to it.
Okay, well, that's like yelling into the void by saying that on an episode of
like
our podcast.
Anyone who hears us say that, like, you're doing, maybe, like, tell a friend.
Oh, there you go. Follow us on Facebook, actually. Let's get that Facebook page up, Improvised Wikipedia on Facebook.
I like it still. I like that we do it.
Okay, thank God.
I enjoy listening to it. I think it's a good thing that we are doing.
Okay.
Some other things that I've done in the past, like, you get to a certain point and you're like, why am I wasting my time with this?
Hey, come on, Glenn,
you're an adult man in his mid-30s
with too many children,
so many kids. You can't be wasting your time with this nonsense. This is not one of those things.
Oh, well, that's good. That makes me feel very, very good and warm.
I mean, I would feel better about it if more people listened to it.
Well, we'll get on that. But if you are joining us, because, like, hopping on season two feels like a good place to jump on.
Oh, see, that's how we can sell it.
Yeah, see? Like, we're just spitballing on the fly here.
This is already, I don't know if I've said it into the microphone on the podcast, but this is the most listened to podcast that I've done.
Yeah. Thank you, listeners. Look at that.
Like, it's not for nobody. Like, we have an audience.
Yeah, yeah. And we've now officially patted ourselves on the back for it.
I just want that audience to be bigger.
All right. Well, it's okay. Let's explain what the show is to these people that are jumping on for season two.
To our thousands of new listeners here in season two of Improvised Wikipedia, what it is we improvise Wikipedia. That's why we called it that. We take a suggestion that we get from people on the internet of what is a thing they want to know more about. Sometimes we give a topic.
It's a little prompt.
We'll say, like, oh, what's a type of animal you want to know about? What's a color you want to... We've never done a color. Oh, man, Wikipedia pages for colors have to be buck wild.
I don't know. We'll have to wait to find out.
Yeah.
We officially can't do a color this episode because you brought it up.
No, you'd have to, like, get into specific wavelengths and shit.
Oh, man. Hexadecimal codes. Pantone codes. Oh
God. Wild.
I got like a semi right now.
Oh, Pantone codes. That would be a fun one.
Ugh. So, yeah, we go head-to-head against Wikipedia. That's what Glenn's trying to
say. Yes. Oh, yeah. We compete with them, which is something you brought to the table.
I did. And I did a very poor job keeping track of how we actually did
it.
It still is on a post-it. I have the original post-it next to me.
Here in studio. Where
I don't know how up to date it is, though.
It's not, because we haven't recorded in studio in a while. We've been out in the field.
Yeah, but sometimes I come in and change it. I don't know. There's a lot of scribbles on it, but the last official check-in, we've bested Wikipedia 10 times. Wikipedia has taken us to school 7 times. And we've tied 4 times. So we've got...
Okay. Well, there's 29 episodes of the show, and that map doesn't check out.
Yeah. Well, some of them are a little different, right? Like, I don't know if we counted the Baltimore podcast.
I don't think we counted Little Buddies.
We don't count Little Buddies, and we didn't count... I don't think we counted the last episode before the break, where we talked about your water main breaking. At least I didn't count that one.
I don't know. You're the only one who's counting any of them, so...
No, our legions of fans... What would we call our legions of fans? You know how, like,
yes.
Murderinos is the My Favorite Murder fan group?
Yeah.
Well, I guess we should leave it up to the fans, right? So any of our listeners can, like, find us on the Improvised Wikipedia Facebook page, and they could drop suggestions.
Is that how
there.
That happens? Like, somebody starts a fan page with, like, a clever name?
Don't know.
I'm in a couple, like, Facebook groups for podcasts that I listen to, but they're, like, I think, like, the Jordan Jesse Go one is just Jordan Jesse Go Facebook page.
Hmm.
I don't know.
Don't know.
They tried Tuppies for a while as a nickname. Some people embraced it. Others pushed back real hard. You know what? Another thing that some since we're talking about what other podcasts do, a thing that a couple shows that I listen to do is they have like a slogan for the year that they usually settle on the last week of the year or the first show back after.
Okay.
After the holidays.
All right. Well, you put me on the spot here. Can you give me some examples? Because I don't know that
the
I completely
understand.
The
one for Jordan Jesse Go.
Yeah.
Is Hit the Streets for this year, which I like a lot. It narrowly beat out Rise Like the Chud.
Ooh, Rise Like the Chud's pretty good.
Which I really didn't want to win. I really wanted to Hit the Streets. I feel good about it. And then My Brother and Me, I think, is 20 Frankenstein Teen Become the Monster.
Don't like that one as much. I'm just going to throw it out there. Nothing against them. That's not a good
I love
one.
That show.
So like, what
I like Hit the Streets better as a,
so what
as
do you,
a slogan.
You're going to like just
so
like.
So I'm saying like.
It's a pitch session now? You're going to just like bounce some slogan off? Go ahead.
We
go
should
ahead.
Think of some.
What
we
do you
should
got?
Think of
Hit
a slogan to give our
Hit
listeners.
Hit me one. Top of your head. Ready, go. Slogan.
Improvised Wikipedia slogan.
That's it. So the Improvised Wikipedia podcast. Improvised Wikipedia slogan.
Yeah. I didn't think of any. I just
that's
thought
terrible.
It would be a. Because you mentioned. The nickname, so I thought it would be a fun thing to do that other shows do.
Like Improvised Wikipedia, learn more good.
Learn more good. Improvised Wikipedia, lie about what you know.
Improvised Wikipedia, facts?
I feel like that one's too on the nose for 2019.
Oh, yeah, wow. Political
this
humor.
Is supposed to be inspirational, not soul-crushing, John.
I didn't know we were supposed to be inspirational.
I think that's like the general guideline to like a slow... We want to like get people...
Oh, I see what you mean.
For Improvised Wikipedia,
I meant
we
like,
want them...
I didn't know that our podcast was inspirational to people.
I want people to listen to Improvised Wikipedia and then like rip fucking phone books in half because they're so hyped.
Okay. Wow. That's intense. Well, why don't we just put this
Improvised
on...
Improvised Wikipedia, rip phone books in half.
Yeah. A little too nail on the head for
There's
me.
A trick to doing that, by the way. I'll show you sometime. You got a phone book you want to tear up?
I don't. Well, why don't we put it on the back burner right now? Because I feel like the best thing we could do is get into a Wikipedia page, get back in the saddle, and then maybe at the end of the episode we'll have something.
Yeah, maybe we can revisit this.
Right. So we both put out prompts on the internet.
We did.
Soliciting information. Yours was just kind of, hey, what do you want to know about? Something you want to know about.
Yeah.
Mine was, what's an invention you want to know more about? So,
yeah.
I will
classic,
let you, I've got the computer
prompt.
Up this time.
Oh, that's right. We're switching it up
We're
in
switching
two.
It up in season two. So which prompt do you want to go for?
Let's go with yours.
Okay.
I like invention.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to need a number between 1 and 11.
7.
All right. That is from friend of the show and... Steel Stacks comedy volunteer extraordinary Chip Beaupree.
Oh, this is going to be gold.
He wants to know about the Laserdisc player.
And I want Chip to know all about the Laserdisc player.
The Laserdisc player?
That was the original name. And
what?
Like, oh, we got to change it.
Yeah, that's a good name change because
Laserdisc
feels like something completely different.
Yeah, it's a vibrant format, the Laserdisc.
Yeah.
So... I know, like, the basic mechanics of how, like, optical media works.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's going to be good for us. I think you're putting the science way ahead of the fact that we just need, like, that opening sentence. We need to nail down like, the who, what, where, when. Kind
so,
of
laser
thing.
Disc players.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like just laser discs.
Yeah, probably. Whichever
is
going to
be the page.
Whichever, like, mutation, permutation is
right.
going to be.
Like, laser disc would be the Wikipedia page. I don't think,
right.
like, player would probably be a
subset.
A subsection. Thereof. So Laserdisc was a big old DVD.
Yeah, it's a big old DVD in
it's
the 90s, right?
It's
80s, 90s?
80s into 90s, I believe.
Yeah.
It hung on, I would say, into the 2000s. But
right.
Like,
it's like, do you know what a record player is? Cool, we're going to have something that big, but it's not vinyl.
And the thing is, I genuinely think that's why. I think the reason Laserdiscs are so big... was because people are like, well, that's how big records are.
You think? Well, it could be, yeah, too. Like, the manufacturing industry could have optimized, like, machine parts for making record players. And when that shit started to dwindle, you know, they had all the, you know, it was just cheaper to manufacture something that was similar to that because of the, you know, access and availability of those parts.
Yeah, and the reason like CDs used to come in those weird plastic things was because all the racks at music stores were built for tapes.
Right.
And then CDs are a different size, and they're like, well, crap, what are we going to do? And like, we got to put them in boxes, and then tapes started coming in weird boxes to match the CD racks, and then it was just a big nightmare. And then R.E.M. did a big voter registration thing in the box for one of their albums.
You're just way off topic already.
Yeah,
you're
like I just
going
like
down a tangent.
I like saying things that I know.
I mean, that's great. That is sort of the premise that we operate out of here. But like, I guess my
LaserDisc was an early optical video format.
Right. So like, what's the advantage of LaserDisc? Why would a person in the late 80s want LaserDisc?
Superior format to
VHS
or Beta.
Right.
Which I think Beta is the better one over
VHS,
quality-wise, but just...
And when we say quality-wise, we're talking about picture quality.
Yeah, like resolution. You probably didn't get those weird lines as much.
Our New Year's resolution in Season 2 is better picture quality, LaserDisc.
Betamax.
That is awful, and I'm sorry to our thousands of new listeners.
VHS and Beta are both magnetic recording formats. It's tape.
Right.
And then the difference with LaserDisc is it's laser. Like, it's...
Okay, just stop, right? Here's the part where I'm going to step aside, and you're just going to science us.
Okay.
What the fuck is this optical...
Okay, it's the same way CDs, DVDs work. You blast the laser at the thing, and then it bounces back. So, like, the groove of a record, which is an analog format, so there's literally, like, a needle at the end of sound recording equipment. As you talk or play into it, it moves the needle that carves out a little groove in the vinyl of a record, and then that's what gets copied and reprinted. With LaserDisc and CDs and DVDs, it's digitized and recorded. There's not like a physical groove in it, but the mirrored part has the pattern that the laser is reading and whatever it sends back.
I'm really glad that you said that. That makes perfect sense to me, which is weird because I'm not a smart boy like you. But I got to go back to the original Facebook post where we got this subject, because fan of the show, chef extraordinaire, and creator maybe of my favorite sandwich of all time, the brown and white.
Oh, you love that brown.
I do. Chef Will Roof commented and said, "Did you know LaserDisc is technically analog?" So
Ooh.
It's really, we've never done this before.
So we're taking a...
But I'm just challenging that knowledge bomb you just dropped on us. I feel like it's part of...
Challenge accepted. I mean...
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
As is not unusual on this show, I don't know a lot about what I'm talking about. So if that's true, I mean, the man can apparently make a tasty sandwich.
It's so fucking good.
I have no reason to doubt it.
Let me walk you through the sandwich right now. Like, I know you're...
We'll do a quick...
You're team veggie boy.
Yeah.
And that's okay. This is a roast beef sandwich, so you're already off the table, but
right.
That's okay. Right? It's this roast beef sandwich. They roast the beef themselves, so it's not like they're going to, like... They're not buying it.
Okay.
And it's not like that processed kind of, like, lunch meat roast beef. It's like they're getting the cow.
It's that good.
And they're doing that good roasting to it, right? They heat that up, right? They caramelize a bunch of onions, put that on top. They get some local cheddar, and they melt that. And they got this banging garlic aioli that they put on this, like, little brioche bun, and it's just... It's simple in its ingredients, but they're all executed to perfection. And I think it single-handedly is responsible for me gaining 15 pounds this past summer.
I mean, yeah, during Music Fest, you're putting one or two down a day.
Oh, yeah, over 10 days, I ate, I think, something like 15 or 16 of them this past year.
Like, that's...
Irresponsible and not his fault.
You post a lot about all the sandwiches that
you eat. It completes me as a person.
I don't want to tell you you're doing it wrong.
But I'm doing it.
It seems to make you happy.
It does.
And I want you to be happy.
Well, I appreciate that, but the undertone is that I'm doing it wrong.
I mean, if I ate meat, I would probably also tear that sandwich up.
Oh, my God, yeah. You'd go to town on it.
If they did like a...
Motorboat that roast beef,
baby. Brown and white, yeah, I'd mess that up.
All right.
Yeah, I don't know. I also don't make great food decisions at Music Fest. I don't think anybody does.
It's very difficult, yeah.
I don't think that's not the point.
But that's not the point. The point is it's delicious. Yeah. You know, we're living in the golden age of aioli. Fancy-ass mayo. Oh, it's everywhere, man.
I'm
going to
say we've passed the golden age of aioli.
Oh, my God, really?
It's just mayonnaise. Calm down.
Oh, okay. we got to put this aside because we got to get back to Laserdiscs. But fuck you. Aioli is wonderful, and I hate you a little bit right now.
Mayonnaise is the superior format. It's technically analog. It's analog.
And mayo is analog?
So, to his point of Laserdisc technically being analog,
mm-hmm.
I think...
Allegedly.
I believe... I'll take him at his word.
Okay.
And assuming that is true, I'm trying to, like, reverse engineer how that would work and what that means. So, I think... A laser is not burning a groove, but a laser is burning a pattern while it's being written, and it's not just zeros and ones. That would be the difference, I would imagine. Like,
I have nothing to bring to the table
here. I'm trying to think of what the it's a laser cutting a thing in, because you can do like you can record video onto a vinyl record. It's
really?
Not, yeah, it's not long. Like you can play the Voyager record and watch a video.
What's the Voyager record? I have no idea what you're talking about right now. I assume it has something to do with the spaceship.
Yeah. So they sent two probes, Voyager 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
that are the first, man-made things to leave the solar system, but not really leave it because they're still in the Oort cloud, which is huge. So they will be long dead before they're out of there. But, they put a record and they recorded. They got Carl Sagan to like produce this thing, so they have in a bunch of different languages. People saying hello, I think, was the recording. There's coordinates to where Earth is, but the coordinates I think use, I want to say quasars, to like make a little map to be like here's some three quasars and here's lines for where we are, but. At the time, we'd only found a few of them, and now they're like, oh, there's like billions of these. It's like trying to give people a map to steal stacks by being like, it's by three trees.
Okay.
And you'd be like, well, that's not helpful.
Or like, it's by a mattress firm.
Yeah.
Right? There's so many mattress firms in the country, that's not helpful.
There's diagrams of like human bodies.
Okay.
Yeah. It's in the first Star Trek movie. The big reveal is that V'ger is like the
cool.
The first, the Voyager probe like got. I'm not a big Star Trek fan. Like became sentient somehow and wanted to kill Captain Kirk.
I think we've all been there.
Yeah. So I think technically, because he says it's technically analog. So
he says
not,
technically. The word technically is in his comment, which is implying a little bit that it shouldn't.
So
make
I would
sense.
Say the way the laser writes the recording is not. Simply like binary ones and zeros. I think it is sort of cut into the pattern based on the feed from the video that they're putting onto it.
Okay. I mean, that sounds great.
That's my
I got nothing there.
When's it invented and by whom?
Well, okay, we know it's commercially available in the late 80s, mid to late 80s, right? So it's probably invented in the early 80s. Let's say 1982.
I'm trying to think of what movies I know for a fact are on Laserdisc and like try to use those to date it.
Do you know any movies for a fact that are on Laserdisc?
No.
So that's
I've never watched a Laserdisc. My elementary school art teacher had some in his art room for some reason.
For when he was hungover and you needed to watch a movie.
I think he had Jaws, but like it wasn't like. Yeah, he was probably hungover, but he's never like, time to watch Jaws in art class.
I don't
think
know
he had Jaws.
I don't know that this is going to help us all that much, right? Because you can buy a fucking Blu-ray of Jaws. It
well, now,
really, yeah.
But home video, as we know it, has changed greatly in our lifetimes. Like, do you remember when Star Wars came out on VHS?
I do.
How big of a deal that was?
I do. Let's not forget the Disney vault, too, right?
Yeah. Disney just rocking that vault.
Oh, I got to rock that vault, right?
Kind
of artificially create supply and demand for your animated movies.
Yeah.
We just all want them, so just take our money now.
That's what they're doing with the streaming service. It will be that, and it will be pretty good.
Hopefully.
Can do it.
Yeah, you can do it.
I have a 5-year-old and a 6-month-old. Like, yeah, I'm definitely.
Fair.
I'm for sure signing up for Disney streaming service.
Hmm. But I'm going to say 1982 is when it was invented. It was invented by someone at MIT. That's what I'm going to go with.
I think it was invented by mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Someone said, we need laser discs.
Someone said, we need laser dicks.
Let's head to the lab.
But it's an MIT, so we need laser dicks. That was my terrible.
Is that your Massachusetts accent?
Yeah, I don't know. I got like some salad. We're salad boys tonight. Glenn and I shared some wonderful salad bar love before we came here, and I got a little bit of lettuce stuck in my tooth, and I was trying to fix it out
I had seaweed salad for lunch and as part of my lunch, and I've been dealing with that all day.
Yeah?
It's good, but like it's just immediately, it's just like tying little strings around your teeth.
Mm.
It's one of the least pleasant foods to have eaten. Eating it, great. Having eaten it, I'm going to be fine with this shit for weeks.
I mean, okay, we got to
brush more.
We got to round out our page here because we are on the clock. So we got
to
get
invented by a team
page.
At MIT
in 1982.
In 1982, by accident, while they were trying to invent laser dicks.
I mean, it's a dead format, right? Like, no one's doing it. Like the
yeah,
only way
I mean, as much
like
as
eBay
of like
or used.
You can buy Josh Gondelman's comedy album on cassette, so as much as like a format dies, like it'll probably be cool again in 10 years.
Maybe, yeah. That was a big sigh. You feel really upset that cassettes are back. Or that funny boy Josh Gondelman has a cassette out and you don't.
No. I'm very happy.
Look, if you want to lure funny boy Josh Gondelman onto Circus Trapeze Records, your comedy record label, you're gonna have to be a lot nicer.
I'll put it out, Josh.
A lot nicer.
I'll release your album on Laserdisc. I don't care. I'll do whatever format you want.
Wow. All right. All right. Any closing thoughts? I don't think there's any like notable references or
first movie on Laserdisc.
Oh, that's a good question.
E.T. No, that's VHS. Maybe both. No, that would be ridiculous.
Well, here's the thing. It was sort of like a prestige format, right? So it's going to
The reason VHS took off over Betamax or Laserdisc was it's more cost effective.
Right. This is a prestige format. So it's going to be, I think it's, E.T.'s actually a fairly good guess, right? Like it's a beloved film. It's something people would want to buy. You know, Jaws isn't a bad guess either. Like it's
but
one
I think,
of those.
I think E.T. Was like the first VHS. Not necessarily ever, but like the one that really
like
popped, like
sealed the format,
like settled, because there's like how porn settles what format we use. Like I think E.T.
right.
had almost as much of an impact as porn did,
let alone the E.T. porn. Right. All right, bud. I'm gonna pull up the Wikipedia page, but before we do have to take a quick break. Wow, that words, huh?
I believe in you.
Shit, I had a laser disc in my mouth there. Glad I said disc.
Discs out of your mouth.
Man. We have to take
I don't go down to where you're working and slap the discs out of your mouth.
Oh, damn. That was... Well, we got to take a break. Thank our sponsors. So we'll be right back. Are you like me? Are you tired? Are you tired of your floor covering? Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I was shopping for floor coverings yesterday.
Right? It's so boring.
I was very bored.
Why don't you put some carpet on that, right?
Ooh.
Put some carpet down on the ground. Add some color. Add some softness. Carpet is the number one floor covering in the world, and we are very excited that they are on board supporting the Improvised Wikipedia podcast. Friends, I have some carpet at home in my condo, in our bedroom. It's great. I hop out of bed. The floor is not cold. I've got a soft, cushiony feeling to it, right? Sure, there's nothing wrong with hardwood. I have hardwood in the rest of my condo. It's not a problem. It's a great floor to have.
I got hardwood in my bedroom.
Oh,
waking up is a miserable experience.
Oh, right, yeah.
You step down on that cold wood.
I hate waking up. Oh, you makes you want to cut your toes off.
Life isn't worth living because of the hardwood floors.
It's awful, but carpet's the way to go. You can go to wall to wall. That's where you have a whole room covered in carpet.
You know what?
You can get
wall to wall and then wall to ceiling. Just
you
surround
could,
it.
Yeah, wrap it like that car in Dumb and Dumber, right? Like that's a shag carpet. You can get an area carpet, an area rug, right?
Here's what you do. Go wall to wall, area rug on top.
That's how the Saudi Arabian royalty does it. And they are fancy and immoral.
I'm redoing my bathroom currently, and we were looking at floor coverings. I think I'm going carpet.
Yeah, what a great idea.
Get out of the shower, get that little squid.
I love it. Carpet is the number one floor covering, and I hope all of you out there listening will consider that bathroom carpet. Use promo code ImprovWikiPod at checkout, and you can get 10% off your first carpet installation on us. Tell them Glenn sent you.
We're eventually going to run out of things in your office.
Shh, the audience hasn't figured out that these aren't real commercials yet. Hey, and we're back. We are back, and I have pulled up the official Laserdisc Wikipedia page here, Glenn. I got to warn you, this article has multiple issues.
It's a good sign for us.
This article possibly contains original research, and this article
Wikipedia.
This article needs additional citations for verifications as well.
Let's drop some citations in there. Where are they getting this info from us?
It is unclear, but let's start off, right?
It's a big table of context.
Laserdisc, abbreviated LD, is a home video format and the first commercial optical disc storage medium, initially licensed, sold, and marketed as MCA DiscoVision in the United States.
Good rebrand, guys.
In 1978. So we're close.
We are close. I wanted to go a little earlier with the inventing, but I didn't want to go over your head.
Although the format is capable of offering higher quality video and audio than its consumer rivals VHS and the Betamax videotape, Laserdisc never managed to gain widespread use in North America, largely due to its high costs for the players and the video titles themselves. Also, the inability to record TV programs. It did eventually gain some traction in that region, and began to become somewhat popular in the 90s, though it was never popular in Europe or Australia, which is
Australia hates that shit. Get it out of here.
Citation needed on that, so we don't actually know how Australians...
I got some friends in Australia. I'll make some calls.
Yeah, get that Australian listenership up, Glenn. By contrast, the format was very popular in Japan, and especially in the more affluent regions of Southeast Asia, like Hong Kong, Singapore, and Malaysia. And it was the prevalent rental video medium in Hong Kong during the 1990s. Its superior video and audio quality made it a popular choice among videophiles and film enthusiasts.
And dickheads.
It does not say dickheads.
It should. Somebody fix that.
The technologies and concepts behind Laserdiscs were the foundation for later optical disc formats, including the CD, DVD, and Blu-ray. It claims that Blu-ray is abbreviated BD, and that's just fucking wrong.
Yeah, that's that. No one Fuck calls off. Laserdisc LD. No one calls Blu-ray BD. Yeah,
give me that BD, baby. Give you that BM. There's a nice little sidebar here. Got a Laserdisc logo, which is very 1980s and 90s. It's nice. It's got that little like laser blasting through all of the words.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, I dig it. All right, you want the history of it?
Hit me.
Optical video.
How bad did we do?
What's that? Oh, how bad did we do? Who cares? We got a lead here. We're doing well.
We
got
to do it for Chip.
Oh, Chip-a-roo. History. The optical video recording technology using a transparent disc was invented by David Paul Gregg and James Russell in 1958.
Dang, Russell?
It wasn't patented until 61 and then later again in 1990. The Gregg patents were purchased by MCA in 68, and by 69, Philips had developed a video disc in reflective mode, which has advantages over the transparent mode. MCA and Philips then decided to combine their efforts and first publicly demonstrated the video disc in 1972. Laserdisc was first available on the market in Atlanta, Georgia, on December 11th, 1978.
Why?
2 years after the introduction of VHS VCR. And 4 years before the introduction of the CD. Let's see. Here's some other crap. Disco
what
Vision.
What was going on in Georgia that weekend? That it doesn't, like, hey, check this shit out.
Doesn't say, man. Doesn't say. Maybe like a World's Fair, right?
Put down your Coca-Cola.
Why can we bring? Can we bring back the World's Fair?
No.
I really want to.
No, thank you.
Why not?
I don't want to.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot of planning.
I'm not saying we. I just mean we.
Oh.
As, like, capital we.
Like other
human,
people?
Humankind.
Like, yeah, other people can do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to be involved in playing.
Oh, no, me neither.
Fair.
Fuck that garbage. That sounds awful.
I have a lot going on in many
I just mean I would like to go to, like, fucking Tuscaloosa, Alabama for the 2028 World's Fair.
Put it on your calendar.
Yeah.
Just the secret that shit into existence. You hear us, Tuscaloosa? Start planning. Get some tents and new video formats to show off.
There's a whole bunch of bullshit about... This is awful. Here we go, though. This is interesting. I think we get some points here. The first Laserdisc title marketed in North America was the MCA Disco Vision release of Jaws. So that was one of the ones we brought up.
We mentioned Jaws. Mm-hmm. Oh, we should have talked about the Bill Murray one.
Which was?
There's a Laserdisc of Bill Murray doing weird stuff to like show off the Laserdisc format.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Then there's some other bullshit here. It was estimated in 1998 that Laserdisc players were in approximately 2% of U.S. households, so roughly 2 million people owned them.
Really
by comparison,
that market.
Yeah, by comparison, in Japan in 1999, 10% of Japanese households.
5 times as much.
Then there's a section on design, which just talks about, the materials and diameter and... the constant linear velocity required to play them. Some real boring crap. It's not even really...
Hit diameter, though. See if it says anything about why so big? Why do you need those beefy discs?
Standard home video laser disc was 30 centimeters or 12 inches in diameter and made up of two single-sided aluminum discs layered in plastic. Although appearing similar to compact discs or DVDs, laser discs used analog video stored in the composite domain. Along with FM stereo sound and PCM digital audio. The Laserdisc at its most fundamental level was still recorded as a series of pits and lands, much like CDs, DVDs, and even Blu-ray discs are today. However, while the encoding is of a binary nature, the information is encoded as analog pulse width modulation with a 50% duty cycle, where the information... Yeah, I'm stopping. 50%... Improvised Wikipedia podcast, 50% duty cycle.
That's the funniest group of words I've ever heard in my life.
50% duty cycle is the phrase that killed Glenn Tickle. Who knew? You know, most people assume I'm the immature one on this show. You know that, right? Duty.
It's because most people don't listen to this show.
Get off it, Glenn. Our thousands of new listeners are listening.
But most people, it's still objectively true that most people in the world don't listen.
It's true. Well, they don't.
We haven't cracked 4 billion yet.
We haven't cracked that duty cycle.
We're going to get that other 50%.
There is actually a Laserdisc player page on Wikipedia that we could have gone to. But it is incredibly boring. The most interesting thing is a list of significant players. like it's the Pioneer CLDD925.
Some pretty good Laserdisc players we found.
Basically. Although this picture of the Pioneer Laser Active, Laserdiscs had controllers very similar to the Sega Genesis.
Hell yeah.
It's almost identical to a
Sega
Genesis.
Could you play games on it, you think?
I think you might have been able to. There's a Genesis here. This is a Sega Genesis. It's a Sega CD. Because I think Sega CD was like... it wasn't quite CD. Wasn't quite DVD.
It was Sega CD.
Was it Sega CD?
That's why they called it that.
What did I say?
Sega CD.
I'm an idiot.
You said it's not a CD?
I hate you.
I'm saying it is because that's what it's called.
All right. Got excited.
But I know like there were DVDs and Blu-rays and stuff that have like little games in them that you can play.
Yeah.
They're usually bad because you're playing them with a TV remote.
Like exercise equipment that has a video game on it to keep you going.
Yeah. It's a callback to not a thing we said on the show. Just a conversation from earlier.
Well, it was an invitation for you to talk about it, but instead you just...
Machine,
no, fuck
my
you.
Gym
stop.
Has a
stop
little fishy
it.
Game
you
that I like to play.
You don't get to throw me under the bus and then tell the story, you son of a bitch.
You play a game, you make the fish go up in the water by going fast and go down the water by slowing down. And you eat fish smaller than you and you avoid fish that are bigger than you. And it's very fun. And I'm very tired from doing it.
There is a section on branding in here, which is incredibly boring except for a picture. It is a picture of a turtle whose body is a laser disc, and he's on his back, so he can't get up. And the screenshot, it's the error message that came up if you put the disc in upside down.
Yeah.
And the caption below it is, program material is recorded on the other side of this disc. I want that as a t-shirt or like a tote bag to take to my library.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's a good, I feel like there's a market for that t-shirt. Think that image is copyrighted?
There's no copyright on the
image.
We're
going to bootleg. Yeah, there's a, scroll down. We're gonna make some bootleg Laserdisc Turtle shirts. That's also probably going to be the cover image of this episode.
Yeah, it's unclear, and I don't feel that strongly about it. I mean, that's basically the end of the page. There's a comparisons with other formats, and then there's a whole bunch of stuff about VHS, DVDs, and it's just like, I don't know that I need that. Wow. There's a whole bunch of other stuff that's really boring. Here's the computer game section, though. We will read that. The format's instant access capability made it possible for a new breed of Laserdisc video arcade games. Several companies saw potential in using Laserdiscs for video games in the 80s and 90s, beginning with Sega's Astron Belt. American Laser Games and Cinematronics also produced elaborate arcade consoles that used the random access features to create movies such as Dragon's Lair. So you remember that bullshit arcade game that you always played, and you're like, it's like a movie, but it's not, and you know, I think they featured it in Stranger Things, too, even in their arcade scene. We're like, this is so cool. That's how they did it. That's it, buddy. We're at the end of the Wikipedia page. So, ultimately, we have to decide who did a better job.
I don't think it was us.
I don't think it was us, but I also am, like, incredibly bored by what was there. Like, I don't know. I know that's not the metric that we're competing on, right? Like, I'm a little worried that the citations were needed. And it was just like, yo, this junk needs some work. I don't know.
I mean, it's not a great page.
It's not.
It's
got that turtle. The turtle's the best thing it's got going for it. And the phrase, 50% duty cycle.
See? But that's not original to them. That's just a fact. That's just a thing that they used. They didn't invent the duty cycle.
Gotta have more fiber.
They need. They don't even have 100% of the duty cycle.
I don't know. I feel like it's a tie.
I'll take a tie.
Let's start off season 2.
If you're comfortable calling this a tie, I'll do it as well.
We're going to call it a tie.
Because I don't care.
Yeah. Yeah. Ooh, improvised Wikipedia podcast. Because I don't care.
Duty cycle.
All right. Well, that brings our score 10-7-5. So still in the lead. Still doing good. A pretty decent start to season 2, if I do say so myself.
Yeah. We learned about a duty cycle. I'm going to spend the rest of my evening looking that up.
Cool.
I'm reading all about duty cycles.
Well, that's it. We've come to the end of the podcast. Thank you so much for listening. If you see Glenn's mom, remember to tell her about this podcast. And also, hey, like us on Facebook at Improvised Wikipedia. And tell some friends.
And buy carpet.
Bye. I love you.